Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Tuesday, October the 2020, and away we go. 15 and a half minutes past the hour, and as we do each and every other Tuesday morning, we are going to turn our attention to the pandemic, which has a lot of interesting parts moving to it right now across the country, across Ohio, and right here in Marion, as a lot of interesting things have happened since last time we spoke to our guest today. We speak with her every other Tuesday at this time, 8:15. She is the Marion Public Health Commissioner, Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Tracy, there's a lot of stuff to cover in the last 2 weeks here. I want to start with the Marion City Schools. There was a well, let's just start with Marion in general. What's it look like right now in Marion?
Our cases have gone up substantially, and we're not seeing an end to that. And so we're getting sometimes 20 or 25 a day of new cases coming in. Over this past weekend, I would say we probably had around 50 cases come in just over the three-day weekend there. So we're definitely seeing a high incidence of cases and a lot of community spread.
Now, is this are we back in red?
We are, yeah. Yes.
Why do you think this is happening all of a sudden? There really hasn't been a holiday in the last 6 weeks. What do you attribute this to?
It's very hard to pinpoint what to attribute it to. I think that we're seeing less adherence to the guidance, so we're seeing less compliance with the mask order. We're seeing less compliance with the isolation and quarantine orders. And so, you know, if we can get a hold of a person at all, if they'll even talk to us, they may not follow their quarantine. Or if they're positive, they don't want to stay isolated, and so they're going out. And so, you know, it's kind of that is what I'm attributing it to, because we don't have any big outbreaks to attribute it to. So in the past, when our cases would go high, it would be because we had usually a nursing home, and they were spreading it inside the nursing home, and their staff were getting it and taking it home. We don't have anything big like that, so they're all truly community spread.
I wanted to talk to you about this because we've been in this for more than 6 months now, almost 7 months now, I believe. And since the beginning, outside of prisons and nursing homes, and not to discount that, but are we still only at one community death, or have there been more?
We had another community death here just a week or two ago.
Now, that did not seem to get nearly the attention that the first one did. What is that, just COVID fatigue?
Well, we didn't make a public statement. We did with our first death, you know, because we felt like we needed to acknowledge that we had our first death. But, you know, we're also trying to find that balance between protecting patient confidentiality, and these are not normally things that we would announce. So we made the choice not to make a public statement about it, but we are reporting it in our number. So you'll see that number change on the coronavirus website.
Are we allowed to say the age range, or were there pre-existing conditions with this person?
The pre-existing conditions, I don't know much about the specifics of the case. It was a male in his 80s.
A male in his 80s. It's, what do you think has happened? Because as you said, it's not happening in nursing homes right now, thank goodness. It's not at the prison right now. It's community spread. Why are people cavalier? Is it just that fatigue?
I think it's a lot of fatigue, a lot of misinformation about our processes, about the mask order. But I do think that fatigue plays a large part of it. It's very hard to sustain, you know, that level of adherence to those guidelines over a very long period of time.
I certainly don't want to get it political, and this is not a political question, but, you know, local and national right now, when you have a national election going on and the President of the United States contracts COVID-19 and is back on the campaign trail a week later, do you think people locally say, well, maybe it's not as bad as I thought it was?
Yeah, people have been saying that since the beginning anyways, because if they know somebody who had it, and a lot of us, you know, a lot of people don't know somebody who's even had it, but if they do know somebody who's had it, they've had a mild case, which is exactly, you know, that's great. That's what we want, but it doesn't take away from those people who weren't so lucky and had a more severe case. But so we see it, we have seen that since the beginning, that this is no more than the common cold. You know, we're overreacting, that kind of thing. And so I think the president, you know, catching it, getting over it quickly, while I'm grateful that that's what happened, and, you know, that's what should happen. The president of the United States should have the absolute best medical treatment available. You know, it does play into that, that, you know, this is not serious.
Mm. You had said people were disobeying quarantine orders, were not following the guidelines, and there has been a lot of talk of this, even with the mask mandate since the beginning. These are not laws. These are suggestions. People can't be arrested. People can't be charged unless they would go into a private business, which has the right to do whatever they want and disrupt it in that way. How better could we make this so the numbers are not constantly on the rise?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is that isolation and quarantine. And so we're seeing more and more and more that when we call a person to tell them they've been exposed to COVID, they hang up on us or they don't want to cooperate with, you know, how they're feeling, tell us anything. We see it with our positive cases. So when we talk to a person who just got a confirmed positive case, they don't want to tell us where they've been or who they've been in contact with. And you can tell just on the phone that they're not going to comply with staying at home and isolating themselves so that they don't spread it. And so that makes it very hard, because then we can't warn anybody else, hey, you were around somebody who is positive. Look out for these symptoms. You know, if you know somebody that's immunocompromised, don't go around them. We're not able to tell people that information because we're not getting it from the source, and that is getting worse and worse.
You know, and I think there's a lot of confusion with that for people who continue to go to the grocery store, for people who continue to go to restaurants and so on and so forth. People who don't have it, I believe, think these are laws, and if the health department calls you and says you have it, that you are going to stay home for 2 weeks and that you are going to tell people who you've been around. That's not the case, and you can't make them do that. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, so in the beginning and in a normal, outside of the pandemic, what we send people is a public health order. It cites the Ohio Revised Code, and we have the authority to make somebody stay home. And we are still giving them that order. However, through this pandemic, that has shifted to being voluntary. And so we are not able, you know, in other situations, like a person with tuberculosis, for example, if we knew they weren't complying and they were leaving their house, we could put an officer at their door to make sure that they, you know, stay inside because they're highly, highly contagious of a deadly disease. But now this has shifted politically mostly towards being more of a voluntary process, which has made it extremely difficult to get control of the virus.
So that's very interesting, because I have not heard that. In Ohio, is that an Ohio rule?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just to be clear for people listening, in Ohio, in the beginning, an order could be sent from the health department that would make you stay home. That was enforceable. But through the course of just this COVID illness through the last 7 months, that's no longer the case. And really the only reason we could probably cite for that is politics.
Yeah, you know, I don't know all of the ins and outs of it. I just know over time it has changed. And, you know, you have to look at the entire picture. We can't use every county's police force and sheriff department across the state to stay outside people's doors and make sure they comply. So you have to look at that as well. Public sentiment, all of those kinds of things factor into this stuff. And, you know, the biggest thing that is voluntary now that, you know, we didn't feel was before is telling us who your contacts were. And so people don't have to tell us anything if they don't want to anymore.
Wow. When we look at Marion right now with the numbers on the rise and us going back into red, are people in the hospital right now? Are people at home? Are people just the people who have it? How are they being treated? Because I think we think they're not in the hospital. Has the hospital seen a lot of activity with this?
The hospital has seen more activity. So we are seeing more hospitalized people. Our numbers sort of shifted there for a while, and we were seeing more people that were over the age of 60, and they're more likely to become hospitalized. Right now, our numbers are pretty evenly spread throughout the age groups. But we are seeing an increase in our hospitalizations. I don't get a report of what that number is on a regular basis, so I'm not sure where we are specifically with Mary in general. A lot of those cases will also be transferred to Riverside and places like that, so it's part of the Ohio health system. But definitely we have seen an increase in hospitalization.
Wanted to talk a little bit about this. I don't think we've ever talked about it, and I don't even know if this is on the paperwork that comes out, but there's a big story in the USA Today today that race has played a part in this to the degree that if you are lower economic, which a lot of people are who are of a different race, it's always been that way, that they are more likely to contract this because they can't stop working, they can't take 2 weeks off, they're probably not going to tell their contacts. Do we know if any, we know about the ages, but do we know anything about race in Marion, Ohio? Is there a line there with COVID?
It's very hard with race in Marion County because our minority populations are so small that it becomes statistically difficult to make a line and say that we're seeing a high incidence in a particular group. The other part that factors into that is the prison. So the prison has a more minority population that factors into Marion County's overall population. So prison counts as a part of our population. So that makes it difficult. Having said that, so I don't have numbers that I can share with you right now, but we really haven't seen anything that's higher than normal among any of our minority populations that I'm aware of when you take out that prison population. So when we had that prison outbreak, that, you know, had a high impact on our minority population. But since then, I don't think that it's outside of what we would normally expect to see.
Since we spoke last time, Tracy, there are three things specifically to Marion that I wanted to talk about. One is Hayes, the Hayes School, Rutherford B. Hayes, here in Marion City Schools. Schools have been open now for about 5 to 6 weeks, and I believe it was last week, or was it the week before, that Hayes contracted a case is what we heard. The school was shut down. What information do we have on that?
Well, I can't go into any specifics on the case itself, but what I will say is that we had to make that decision in partnership with the school to shut down for 2 weeks and go to remote learning because we had a positive case that had been in contact with a lot of people, and we were not able to pinpoint who was a close contact around the person for, you know, 6 feet or closer for 15 minutes or more. And so since we couldn't do that, we couldn't tell, and it looked like they had contact with a lot of people all throughout grade levels, all throughout the school. The only thing that we could do was shut down the school so that we could prevent that outbreak from, you know, spreading.
The other question I had is in regard to the River Valley School District. Now, when we talked last time, River Valley was just getting ready to go back to 4 days a week and 1 day of remote learning, and we heard that people at River Valley had contracted this, but of course that could be all hearsay. Are things going okay at River Valley? What was that a good idea to go back to 4 days? No other county school or city school in Marion has decided to do that. Why was that decision made, to your understanding, and are there cases there?
There are a few cases there, and if you go to the coronavirus.ohio.gov website, you can see where we report our school counts. So there's a handful of schools that have, you know, two or three cases at each one. And so also Elgin, I believe, is starting back full-time this week, and I think Ridgedale, if they haven't been already started, they're getting ready to. But, you know, we have seen some cases there, and we expected that to happen. The cases that we're seeing are not connected to each other, so it's not like one kid got it or staff member and they spread it to another one who spread it to another one. They all got the virus someplace else and happened to be at school. And so then we were able to figure out by seating charts and things like that who was exposed, quarantine the people who were exposed, and keep it from turning into an outbreak. So in that regard, things are going well. Their staff is being very good, and all of our schools are being very good about keeping those seating charts, knowing where kids are in the building. And so, you know, the schools decided, they continue to survey parents, and around 80% want to see their kids back in school. And so we're, you know, our job then is to figure out how to make that happen as safe as possible, and that's what we've been working on with the schools.
With this four-day-a-week model, which apparently now will have three schools, is that what the health department thinks should happen? Is that safe at this point with the numbers on the rise?
Well, we told the schools, even with our numbers on the rise, let's stay where we are and see how this progresses. So River Valley had already opened, and the decisions even for Ridgedale and Elgin, all of those decisions were made back when we were yellow, and so things changed very quickly. But because we're not seeing outbreaks occur in school where we're having transmission from one kid to another kid to another kid, because the process is going well, let's stay in school as long as we can in those facilities where they're able to get as much distance as possible and follow their plans. And so that's why we felt like it was okay, you know, to keep going with a school like River Valley versus the city schools who, particularly in the high school and the middle school, can't get that distance. They have so many students. So let's not go back to school for them. Pleasant is another one that has been struggling. You know, they have an older school building. Their classrooms are smaller, which means they can't get very much distance between kids in those classrooms. So, you know, let's hold off there until we get further along and see if, you know, our cases go back, trend back down. So it really just depends on the school itself.
What was the difference between there being a confirmed case at Hayes and shutting that down for 2 weeks and having confirmed cases at River Valley and not shutting down?
The confirmed cases at River Valley, we were very confident where those people traveled throughout the school building, and we could take, you know, you've heard the governor, or maybe it was Dr. Acton, talk about a surgical approach versus a blunt approach. And so by knowing where those people had been in the building, who they had been close to, we could surgically remove the student who was positive and the people that they were in close contact with without having to shut down the entire school. In the case of Hayes, we were not able to do that. We were not getting good compliance, and we could not tell and have confidence in who had been exposed and who hadn't. So we had to take that more blunt approach of shutting the school down.
And the other story that got a lot of attention just in the last 7 days was there was a confirmed case at City Hall here in Marion, and the mayor and one other employee, it's my understanding, have both tested negative, but are under quarantine. I assume the two-week quarantine. What happened there?
You know, just like any other workplace, you can have a person who tests positive and has that close contact with people, and, you know, we end up having to quarantine people, so that's happening all over, you know, the county. So it's the same typical situation in that circumstance. They were exposed to somebody who was positive, and they did the right thing and honored the quarantine, and, you know, that's the way it should be.
When it came to City Hall, I think only two employees were quarantined, or were those just the two that we heard about? Are there more people from City Hall quarantined?
I don't think so. I don't think there are any more people quarantined.
How is something like that, because I would just, I hate to assume, because that's a bad thing to do, but if an employee at City Hall had this, I would assume they would have come in contact with more than just two people.
You know, it really depends on who they were in contact with closer than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes. So they could have come into contact with people throughout the day, but if they didn't have direct face-to-face meetings, for example, with other people, those other people wouldn't get quarantined. So it really does depend on, you know, what day they became contagious, who were they around on those days. All of that stuff factors in when we do investigations of cases.
So when you test negative, which my understanding is the mayor and the other employee have, you still quarantine?
Right, because you could give a negative test in the beginning because you don't have the viral load, you don't have enough virus in your system yet to test positive, but it's in there incubating, kind of growing. We've had people who don't test positive or don't show symptoms until day 13 of their quarantine, of their 14-day quarantine.
Were all the employees at City Hall tested for this, or just, as you said, people who might have been in contact for 15 minutes or more?
Right. It's, and, you know, whether to get tested or whatever, we don't recommend going and getting tested. I know it's a peace of mind thing for people, but it doesn't change your quarantine. So, you know, whether people get tested or not, I'm not sure about that. We don't require that because, you know, like I said, you can become symptomatic late in your quarantine. So if you find out that you were exposed to somebody and you run and get a test and it's negative, it really doesn't mean anything. You could have the virus show up a week later.
Was this a decision that was made, do you know, by City Hall, or was this a decision that you recommended that the mayor and this person, the other person who quarantine, because they had been in contact more often?
Yeah, so it was kind of, you know, they asked us for our advice. The case itself was not a Marion County resident, so we weren't the health department in charge of that. But we did work with them and give them, you know, the information that they needed, you know, when they called, and kind of walk through that situation with them.
And the other question I have before we part ways, because with cases on the rise for whatever reason and us being red again, Halloween is coming up very quick. The election comes up 3 days after Halloween. It's my understanding that polls will be open that day. What do you foresee here?
You know, I think over the next few weeks we are going to continue to see our cases go up. We're not seeing any indication of being able to control that spread. So I think it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, and we're in one of these surges. And I hope, you know, that we'll go back down before the holidays. But I think everybody just needs to be extra cautious. We certainly encourage people to vote. Wear your mask, you know, bring your hand sanitizer, things like that. For trick-or-treat, keep your distance as much as you can. If you see a group of people up at somebody's door, don't go up. Wait until it's empty and utilize all the precautions. We have a handout on our website, marionpublichealth.org. So use those precautions and be safe, and, you know, try to avoid hay rides and things like that where you're getting really close to each other.
Tracy, I can't thank you. Well, one thing I wanted to say, because it's happening all over the country right now, that was a big story yesterday, that cases are going up everywhere for some reason. Is this that second wave we were talking about back in May and June?
I don't think it's the second wave. I think we're still in our first wave, and we are doing this sort of peaks and valleys inside that overall wave. So in order for you to get down to be the first wave being completely over, you have to go down below your baseline where you started. And we haven't really consistently done that yet. So we have to be kind of almost like you feel like the virus is gone and then it comes back. That's the second wave.
Tracy, it's all very interesting information. I can't thank you enough for coming on. And I think next time we speak, we will be in the week of Halloween and within, I believe, 7 days of the election. So it's very interesting times, to say the least.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Tracy Kinsler, Marion Public Health Commissioner. So there you have it. 41 minutes past the hour here on this particular morning. That's interesting. There's a lot of interesting information to come from that interview with Tracy. And one of the things is, I did not know that. Did anybody else out there know that? Does anybody have any comment on that interview? I would love to hear it right now. We've got 20 minutes left here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The most interesting thing that came out of that for me was I did not realize that, I knew it was not a law, but I did not realize that in the beginning of this pandemic, that the health department could issue an order, if you tested positive, to stay home for 2 weeks that you had to abide by. But somewhere along the way, that power was taken away. And was it political? Was it because we can't station police officers at people's doors? I don't know. That's a very interesting point to make. So you have to take that into account when you are out in the public. You've got to understand right now that we are back at red, which means there are more cases, 25 a day, I believe is what Tracy said, around 25 a day. Another person has died. We are up to two now who are not involved in the prison or a nursing home. And I think we have to realize that there are a lot more cases out there walking around now because you don't have to self-quarantine. You don't have to tell who you've been around. These are not things that you have to do. And apparently, according to Tracy, a lot of people are refusing to do this. So there you have it. What do you make of all that? That's interesting. Very, very interesting. As we head into colder weather, where people are going to be staying in more, where we head into Halloween, where people are going to be out more, and it's a Saturday night. Halloween's a Saturday night. That's going to be for a lot more parties. That's going to be for a lot of kids out because they don't have school the next day. And also, what do you make of the election coming up? People are going to be able to go to the polls. And what kind of things will that cause in general? 43 and a half minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know what's strange about this whole thing? As I sit down and think about it, why do we have a hard time following these orders? You know, I've tried to understand, because I don't want to discount anybody's thinking. And we've heard a lot of things for 7 months now. And, you know, one of the things we have heard many, many times is that this is political and it's all going to be over after the election. We've heard that time and time again. Now, what I'm trying to figure out, because clearly I don't think that's going to happen. We're less than 30 days from the election, and our cases are going up, not down. So I don't think on November 4th all this is going to be gone. I never really understood what the election had to do with it. And clearly, how we are treating this could be political. but not political in the virus is phony, which I think is what people were saying, political in that you don't have to report anything if you don't want to. You don't even have to stay home. So I really don't understand that whole election thing. Does the virus favor one person or the other? Does it favor Democrats or Republicans? I don't really understand what that whole election day pandemic idea had to do with. I never understood that. If anybody understands that, let me know. I'd love to understand why people associated this with the end of the election. I never really understood, because it started back in March, long before the election. So I don't know. I haven't quite got that. And then the other thing that we have constantly heard is that it's not real. Well, you know, people are dead across the country, 200 and over 210,000, I think, at this point. So I'm not sure exactly why, in the midst of a pandemic, people are following the rules less. Is it an idea that we didn't get it? We didn't get it so we can do what we want to do. I don't know. You know, I haven't had it, to my knowledge. Now, I do wear the mask when I'm out in public. Now, that's mainly because most businesses out there, you have to wear the mask. When I was at Put-in Bay over the weekend, you have to wear the mask. So that's just the way that goes. But what exactly do you think is going on here? And can anybody explain that whole political thing about it's going to be over after the election, or it's phony? I'm really still not sure about that. And does anybody have an idea why the order? Because we don't really know for sure. Why do you think the order has been taken away for the health departments to make people stay home if they have contracted COVID-19? Now, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, as Tracy said, it could be political, but we don't know. I mean, nobody comes in and says that's political. So I'd love to hear your opinions on this. We've still got 13 minutes left in this hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I'm trying to compare it with other things, and it's hard to do because we haven't had a pandemic in over 100 years. So it's hard to compare, but if, like the speed limits, you know, that's something that the government takes care of. The government says, okay, the speed limit is going to be this. Now, speed limits there are essentially, there to stop people from speeding and causing accidents and driving recklessly and carelessly and so on and so forth. Now, does that mean everybody's going to drive recklessly and carelessly? No. But they do put those in place, and people do follow those. And if you don't follow those, you get a ticket or you get a citation, and that's what goes on. Why this is not treated like that? That whole loss of freedom thing is another thing I've heard a lot of. I mean, there are a lot of things that we have to follow. And there are new things that we've had to follow that we didn't have to follow 30 years ago. You know, the seatbelt violation is a fairly new citation that you get. I think it's still a secondary offense, but that's new. Texting while driving, which I think is a second degree or a secondary offense, but it's there now. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How you be this morning?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I just terrific. You know, Scott, I get out, but I don't go in very much places. We always, when they got drive-thrus or something, that's what we do. We hardly ever go in. Well, I go in the rest, sit down and eat. We don't do that. This plane won't do it, so Scott, I think what's going on with whatever it is, let's put it that way. I ain't going to put a name on it, but now people has got, you know, I said this way back, if you remember, people are losing respect. I mean, you know, what? How much trouble is it? You don't have to wear that when you're a mask outside, driving around in your own car. I don't think that you've got to have one there or in your house or blah, blah, blah. It's kind of nice to sanitize your house once in a while, you know what I'm saying. But going in business where there are people, I watched some last night, these smaller stores. I ain't going to put no name on them, but you probably know about what I'm talking about. And I was surprised at the older, like, people, middle age, to me, would go in without a mask. I mean, you know, I don't understand it when we've got the whatever it is, the virus is going up and up, it's going right on up and up, and the colder it gets, the more we get together in a house, especially hemmed up. I've been hemmed up so dadgum long, I think I'm going to rock the ground, I'm going to retire for the winter or something. But how much trouble is it for anybody, I don't, you know, care about who it is, to put a mask on and go in for a few minutes, whatever this particular store you didn't stay in there very long because I didn't have that much to shop for. Put a mask on and come back out. How much trouble is that? You may not have nothing. You know, that we don't know for sure. But it's the other person. It's the other people. I don't want to take a chance of what other people's got. And I don't want to take a chance of giving somebody what I might have. That's what you call respect for the other people. Well, and yourself, too.
Well, it's interesting because I thought what was interesting about what Tracy had to say this morning, things I was not aware of, and those things being that apparently now, and this changed during the course of the pandemic, it was different in the beginning, that if you contract this, you don't have to stay home if you don't want to. You don't have to obey the order. There is no order that's sent to you anymore. You don't even have to tell the health department who you've come in contact with. And apparently, that's what people are doing. They're ignoring the orders and they're slamming the phones down. That's what Tracy said. So I don't know what's causing that. But
well, going back to the simple question, respect for each other. Well, Scott, look at the people we got. We got a lot of people that's out of work, that's exposed to the virus and so on, and not able to go back. Of course, they won't let them go back to work. I think about them people. And I also think about the people that's working, that maybe somebody's going to give it to somebody. These people out there are working for a living to feed their family and so on and so forth. It's bad enough to have to work. Let's put it that way. Of course, we know we have to work if we survive very long. To work under the circumstances we got now. You understand what I'm saying? They got to be scared to death. I'm going to catch this from that one, or I'm going to blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? If everybody would respect other people and themselves, I think we would slow this down a whole lot. But when you don't care, you know, let's put it this way, just plain don't care. I mean, if you run into these places without a mask on or get around a crowd, we just plain don't care. It's plain as simple as that. So, I mean, unless we do better than we're doing, does look like it, we're going to, but if we don't do better than we're doing this winter when the flu season comes along, if this ain't already what it is, but I don't think it is, it's something else, so I don't know. It's going to get a whole lot worse.
You know, I have heard that this was going on, that if people were feeling sick, they weren't even going for the test because they don't want to have a positive test. They don't want a quarantine. I have heard that people were not giving people they'd been in contact with because, you know, I hate to say this, but I think there's an embarrassment level there because I think, you know, if the health department calls you and says, Jim Johnson has COVID and he gave us your name and now you've got to stay home for 2 weeks and now you've got to go get the test, well, if you aren't making much money right now and we haven't had a stimulus since April and Congress and Senate and the President cannot get together on this, you're probably embarrassed to tell people. And if you're a school kid, you're probably, it took so much to get back to school, it took so much to get sports back, you're probably scared to death that everybody would hate you at school if you came down with it. It'd be like having the scarlet letter put on your chest.
Right. Right. You could come up with a solution of answers and questions, but none of them's working, let's put it that way. The kids, I feel so bad for the kids. They're small ones. Now, the grown-up ones, you're pretty good-sized kids, you know, high school and, you know, up in there. It ain't hardly as bad for them. But now you take these small kids, well, say from kindergarten on up to maybe third or fourth grade, it is tough on them to be kids. Let's put it that way. To be kids. You know how kids are. And to tell them they can't go to school because they have got something would be mighty embarrassing to the school. The staff and so on and so forth. That would, well, not only that, you take adults. It's hard for him to, you know, return to work after having or had or whatever. But it doesn't have to be that open if you have it or get quarantined or something. It don't have to go out on the highway, you know what I'm saying. You can hide it a little bit. But, Scott, it ain't nothing to be ashamed of because it's out there. It's just like the flu. It's out there, and you know, it's. I think it's a little different than flu. You got to be exposed to the climate, the weather, and so on and so forth. For the flu, the weather, the way you treat your body, and so on and so forth. But this virus is whatever it is, you can catch it any kind of weather. If you get in contact with somebody or you can spread it, you know, so it's different. And people ain't taking it seriously, I don't think. They just, well, I'm all right, I'm okay. But you got to think about the other people. And they're not. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm fine. I don't have no symptoms whatsoever. But still, I respect that other guy. And that's what I'm talking about. We don't have respect for the other people. Your neighbor, your sister, whatever. Respect. I get back to the respect. If you don't have respect for yourself, how are you going to respect your fellow man, your fellow whoever it is, kids, whatever? If you can't respect yourself, how are you going to respect them?
Well, and that's the bottom line to this all, and I want to mention it again before we go to break here, because I think people don't understand this because it's not common information, and I think people need to understand that we have had another community death here in Marion, an 80-year-old person in their 80s, but that's all the information we have, and also that you have to understand we are having about around 25 cases a day being reported right now, but people are not quarantining. People are not giving the names of people they've come in contact with. You could have come in contact with one of these people. You wouldn't know because they're not giving the names. And the health department, at some point during this pandemic, and I'm not sure when it was, the ability to force people, to give people an order to quarantine, they can no longer do. So I hope people understand that, because I don't think they do. I think they think that it's still in order. I think that they think that you have to give the names of people you came in contact with, and you don't. You can hang up on the health department and tell them nothing. And it has happened, as Tracy has said. And apparently it's becoming more commonplace. So I hope people understand that with your masks and your hand sanitizing and just going out in public for the heck of it. You know, maybe think twice right now, because we are back in red.
Scott, I hate to take all the time up. You're at a break. It's going back to we've got so many people that just plain don't care.
Yeah. And let's hope it gets better.
Yeah, I mean, we just got too many people that don't care. That's how it's going to spread. It's just, I mean, simple as that.
Well, let's hope we're on the upswing, but thanks for calling.
Yeah, okay. Hey, have a nice day. Stay safe out there, everybody. I feel for everybody.
You too.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, we're going to the break. We'll be back in 15 minutes. More talk here on WWGH Radio.
Oh, to go on into the next year's. What do you make of his opponent?
Now, you're trying to get
me
in trouble.
No,
yes,
no.
You are. You're trying to get me in trouble. you're baiting me.
No. We can move around that question. We can move around that. You have always been that nice to me. And, boy, I'll never be able to repay it. It's just been wonderful.
Well, I tell you, you've been nice to me, too, I'll tell you. As I said, you're my favorite interviewer.
Well, that
yes.
is that is.
And I've had a lot of people interview me. In fact, you know, there's some pretty famous ones there too. So,
well, I hold that high. And WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at WWGH.